brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Yeah, we got a little bit more than time, temperature, and tunes today. My name is Rob Roberts. I'm bold, I'm black, and I'm back in town. Stay tuned. It's going to get hot, damn hot this afternoon, but you won't want to get off of that dial because, as always, it's going to be interesting and entertaining. Stay tuned. We got something for you.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Welcome to the show this morning, folks. Yes, this is the Saturday special. Michael's whirling is out of town. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm back in town. I'm going to be filling in for Michael today, and I want to thank him. My friend is out of town in Salt Lake City, Utah, I believe he told me yesterday, before he climbed on the plane. And he asked me about 2 days ago, would I consider coming down here to do the show? I said, of course. You know, of course. It's always a pleasure to come back into the community here in the Monterey Bay, Santa Cruz area, and KSCO 1080 AM, and, you know, kind of reacquaint myself with what's going on in the area and some of the folks that are out there in the KSCO vast listening audience. It's always a pleasure. Wow. There's a whole lot to talk about. Something to talk about. There's plenty to talk about, folks, and I'm going to do it here this afternoon. If you want to be a part of the show, and I certainly hope you'll consider doing so, availing yourself of the opportunity that we have here in America, courtesy of the First Amendment and those evil white men that constructed it a little over 235, 40 years ago. Please call 479-1080. Send me a fax at 475-2967 or 477-1029. Before we get too far along here, I want to take an opportunity to thank my board operator today. Dave, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Super. You know, I was coming up here this afternoon thinking who I might have to work with me today, and you're someone that's new. I've never met you before. How long have you been here working for KSCO?
I've been here going on a year and a half now.
Great, great. Well, from what I've been able to observe so far, you're taking your place in a very, very long line of outstanding individuals that help make folks like me sound good and our show a success. So I just wanted to go ahead and thank you for that before we get too far into the show, because I really appreciate your efforts on my behalf, and I wanted you to know that.
Thank you.
You know, as I was coming up here this afternoon, folks, I was listening to my iPod. Wonderful thing. I mean, you know, I'm not much of a techno geek, I got to tell you. But this iPod thing is wonderful. I bought this toy about a year ago, and it never ceases to amaze me that I'm actually able to carry my entire musical library in my shirt pocket. I mean, that just is amazing to me. It's absolutely awesome. And I have like 10 days, I stand corrected, of music, approximately 300-350 CDs in my library, and it's just so wonderful. I can, whatever my mood is, I can just dial up an album, or, you know, I'm a real big jazz aficionado, so I love getting into the jazz thing and working that, and, you know, making up playlists. You can make up your own music list, so on and so forth. I'm sure most of you are aware of what you can do with the iPod, but it never ceases to amaze me. You know, the wonderful technical innovations that we have in this country that make our lives so much easier. And Wow, just really pleasant. You know, this morning I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to talk about a number of things today. One of the things I want to start out, kind of the main focus of the show, if you will, the nexus, is going to be the Don Imus, free speech imbroglio that has been taking place here over the past couple weeks. And I want to kind of zero in on some specifics because I am not what you would call a Don Imus fan. I listen to him in the morning. I worked a day shift at the Alameda County Medical Center and in the Bay Area. And as a result, I get going pretty early in the day. And, you know, I would go ahead and turn Don Imus on in the morning after I got back from the gym. And it was something, you know, before I hopped in the shower, I'd listen to him for about 20 or 30 minutes and just kind of get caught up in some things and, you know, the news and the weather, so on and so forth. And I got to tell you, I was really, really surprised at what imploded or exploded, depending upon your point of view, because I'm an African-American male, and I got to tell you that, and I've been an African-American male for 51 years now, and any time I forget that, somebody will remind me. But I found the show to be humorous. Sophomoric at times, but very, very entertaining. I mean, it was what it was. Notice I'm speaking in the past tense. Not is what it is because he's been taken off the air, but it was what it was. I mean, sophomoric humor, you know, kind of in a Howard Stern mode in the morning, something to kind of get you laughing, get you going in the day and, you know, kind of set your, you know, your face in the right direction, into the wind, so to speak, you know, so you could, you know, start your day off with a few yucks, you know, and a few laughs. And I was really, really upset and also surprised, you know, at the risk of sounding redundant, over the nappy-headed hoe syndrome. Nappy-headed hoes. It was, from my standpoint, a rather innocuous comment. Nappy-headed hoes. What's up with that? You know, I mean, I was absolutely shocked. And then all the usual suspects, you know, climbed out of the woodwork on this one. You know, the Al Sharpton and, you know, the Jesse Jacksons of the world. And I got to tell you, you know, as an African-American male, or as I refer to myself more commonly as an American that happens to be black, I was very, very taken back initially by, you know, what happened. And then I started to get angry. By the way, 479-1080 here on KSEO is a number to get in this conversation. 475-2967 is a fax number. Okay. And my name is Rob Roberts. I'm sitting in for Michael Swerling. This is a Saturday special. You have not reached this number by error. Okay. I'm sitting in for Michael today. I'm bold. I'm black. And I'm back here in the Monterey, Santa Cruz Bay area. We're back to Don Imus. Really, really taken back. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know today, still don't know why he lost his job. I don't. For saying what, again, was a comedic phrase to me in the context in which it was viewed and which I heard. And unfortunately, I wasn't listening to that show that morning. But nappy-headed hoes, give me a break now. Give me a break. Okay, what is the problem with that? You know, every day, and this is a hypocrisy that so gets me upset and angry, okay, because race, politics, you know, they're always very heated. They're right underneath the surface here in this country. Let no one ever think, okay, that race, politics, sexism are not bubbling right below the surface. We still have a big race problem in this country, always going to have one, and it's just right beneath the surface. And when something like this occurs, boom, bam, right away, it erupts, okay? In this particular case, way out of proportion, okay? Because on any given day, you can go into a record store and hear black artists demeaning black women, okay? On any given day, calling black women hoes. Bitches, on any given day, you can go into a record store and hear it being played over the airwaves before you buy it, using the words nigger, some of the most vile, vituperative, insulting, misogynist crap that you'd ever want to hear. Okay? And to have black people react as if This is something that has not and does not go on a daily basis. Just blows my mind. Like my mama used to say, tell the truth, child, because the truth needs to be told. I mean, what is wrong with people here? Okay, these black girls, some of these so-called black leaders, and let me get the jigaboo meter out here this morning. Yeah, that's right, the jigaboo meter, okay? What are you talking about, Rob? Well, let me explain the jigaboo meter, okay? The jigaboo meter comes out, okay, and it highlights those hypocritical black rubes who purport to be so-called leaders in the black community in America, who voice their outrage at imagined slights. Let's take Al Sharpton, for instance. To hear this guy, first of all, Don Imus ought to be beaten down. Okay? For him to go on bended knee on Al Sharpton's show and expose himself to ridicule. What is wrong with you white folks? That every time something like this happens, you think you got to go kiss the ring of these so-called black leaders. Al Sharpton is a jigaboo, okay? You got that? A damn jigaboo. He is no leader, and he certainly doesn't speak for me, nor does he reflect my values. Who the hell is he? If you want to go kiss somebody's ring, then you come kiss my ring, okay? Al Sharpton is not representative of who I am or who the majority of the black community in America is. I would advance for your consideration. I mean, this man is totally discredited. He is a moral vacuum. He has no credibility. Who the hell is he? Some dime store got it through the mail reverend? This guy has about as much affinity with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Well, you go ahead and fill in the blanks, okay? Al Sharpton is not speaking for me. This is a guy, remember, who has lied throughout his career, who has created invective, okay, and spewed invective on the airwaves, done everything he can to foment and, you know, create racial dissension. Wherever he walks, he's a black pimp, a jigaboo, okay? And he does not represent me, all right? This is a guy that, remember the Tawana Brawley incident years ago, where he encouraged this young black woman to debase herself, to lie, to foment racial intolerance, in the hope of perhaps exploiting and creating a racial war, if you will. And then Jesse Jackson. This is a guy, okay, Jesse Jackson. This is a guy whose claim to fame is that he carried Martin Luther King's shoes once upon a time and maybe shined them a little bit. And he's exploited that to some type of, I don't know, what type of status. That he is so, he does not speak for me. This is a guy that fathered a child out of wedlock and lied to his wife, committed adultery. I mean, who the hell are these people that they get up on the airwaves, national airwaves or otherwise local, and purport to be speaking for the black community? He does not speak for me, nor do I advance for your consideration. Speak for a majority of African Americans, black Americans. Again, jigaboo meter going off the charts. Jigaboo meter going off the charts. Okay. All of this over some type of phrase that, again, I don't understand what all of the hubbub is about. I mean, black women have been demeaned not by the Don Imuses of the world, but by their own community. We have done that to ourselves. Okay. And I had to listen to this cacophonous BS, bull excrement, for 3 or 4 days after this comment were made by the man in the street, woman in the street, so-called black men, black women in the street, voice their indignation. You know, voice your indignation over what, fool? Again, jigaboo meter going off the charts. What is wrong with these people? Rappers have been demeaning black women for 20 years. They have been calling black women far worse than nappy-headed hoes. Let me tell you, you can turn on MTV anytime and see black women demeaning themselves, scantily clad, reinforcing and perpetuating some of the most onerous stereotypes in the black community. And people making money off of this on a day-to-day basis. And as an American who happens to be black, I'm outraged. And this is not new outrage. Those of you who know me know that I've been speaking out against this for years. Okay? For years. Let's talk about some truths in the black community before I go to the phone line. I got a caller here. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Let's talk about some truths in the black community. I know these are inconvenient truths, to borrow an Al Goreism. These are inconvenient truths, but let's explore a couple of these for a moment. 8 out of 10 black children are born out of wedlock. Now, how do you characterize that type of behavior? Let me break it down for those of you who live up in the hills of Santa Cruz that don't quite have a grasp on the intricacies of the English language. These are women who are not married, okay, who have sex, who have babies, who get pregnant, have babies, don't marry the fathers. 8 out of 10 black births fall in that category. That is absolutely outrageous. That is absolutely outrageous. We can't talk about that. That's like, I guess I'm the only person that can say nigger here today. Okay? I guess I'm the only person that can say jigaboo. Why is that? Why can't anybody else talk about that? Why do we skirt that issue? Okay. Now, what do you call a woman that has sex with a man that's not her husband, who she has no intention of marrying? Well, in the lexicon of the current black community, a baby daddy. A baby daddy. Okay. We need to be less concerned about baby daddy than husbands. But we don't want to talk about that. 8 out of 10 black children born in this country are born illegitimately. That is an absolute disgrace. It's filthy. It's a national scandal. But who's talking about it? Very few commentators are talking about it. Because there's not enough folks like me out there that are willing to take that issue on and expose it and speak clearly. Again, that freedom of speech thing. Okay? We're going to talk about some more of that in just a second. First of all, I want to go to the phone lines. We got Mike Santa Cruz. He wants to talk about the IMUS thing. Good morning, Mike, and welcome to KSCO. You're in the air with Rob Roberts. How you doing, partner?
Okay, hello, Rob.
What a pleasure.
Given what you said about the Don IMUS thing not making sense, that he said that type of thing so many times over the years, and the why pop them. Why did they decide to can him based on just this?
Because white guilt, man. You know what's going on here. White guilt.
Well, it seems logical that there might be some other reason.
You tell me.
Since this one makes so little sense.
You know, this is something, you're absolutely right. Anybody that's, listen to Don Imus, and I've been listening to him for about a year and a half, knows this is his shtick. I mean, there's nothing new here. This is nothing that's unusual. This is his program. It's been going on for years, and we've had all of these leading candidates, all these, people of some renown appearing on this program. I mean, all of these people were willing to make the trade-off. They knew that, what they were getting, and they appeared in this program. This is nothing new. Don Imus has been doing this for 30 years, man.
Okay. I'd like to suggest the reason why he might have been canned.
Talk to us.
Well, a short time earlier, then before all this came down, Don Imus was in an interview with Tim Russert. Don Imus became a little hot-headed about the Bush administration regarding the war and things like that. And he started making comments about how he was going to expose the truth of the government's lies.
I remember that
about
show.
About the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's canned, I do believe.
Well, I mean,
wouldn't let him go on. With
you're entitled, you're entitled to your, opinion. I respect your right to voice it, but I respectfully, I think you're a little bit off base with that one. I think that, again, I want to harken back to what I was talking about initially at the beginning of the show. I mean, you know, race, sex, you know, speech in this country, we are so polarized as a nation. Okay, it doesn't take much to set us off, okay? And, you know, he touched the third rail, you know, in America, which is race, particularly when you happen to be a white man talking about African Americans.
Yeah, but everybody rides that rail. Well, not everybody.
Not everybody.
Plenty of people do, black and white.
Absolutely.
He, the third rail he touched was the one.
But here's the deal, okay? It's okay for, you know, Chris Rock to get out and talk about niggers. You know, I mean, it's okay for Chris Rock to get out with his little shtick and talk about nothing. You know, like, for example, one of the things I remember from him is nothing a white man with a penny hates more than a nigger with a nickel. Okay. And then black people pay money to listen to this black man demean them, laughing uproariously, and they don't understand that they are being demeaned, okay? But Chris Rock doesn't get called on the carpet for that. Now, if you were to go out and make a joke like that in front of a room full of people, you might not get out of that room, okay, you know, without some harm being done to you. So I'm getting, you know, here's a point that I want to highlight by utilizing that analogy. There's a double standard in so many areas in this country, particularly when it comes to speech. Okay, some people can say things that other people can't. And I believe this Don Imus situation really, really highlights and illustrates that perfectly. Your, you know, ending comment.
Well, I think plenty of white guys get away with, look at Howard Stern. You know, there's plenty of white guys that get away with.
Yeah, but you pay to hear Howard Stern. Yeah. Howard Stern is not on the air, on the public airwaves anymore. You have to pay to hear his sophomoric insulting humor.
Yeah, how long did Don Imus get away with it?
He got away with it for quite some time.
Yeah.
Because he was making money for folks.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And that's and that's the bottom line common denominator. Okay.
Yeah. So
money.
Why would they cut him off when they did?
Well,
back to the World Trade Center, man. That's the only other factor involved here.
Okay, Mike. Thanks a lot for calling the program. They appreciate that, okay? All right. We're back on the air here this afternoon. Gonna take a real quick break. This is KSEL 1080 AM. His time is 10:28 in the afternoon, or should I say early morning. You're on the Saturday special with Rob Roberts on Bold on Black, and I'll be right back as soon as we pay a few bills here. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial.
This house ain't grand, but for sure it's mine. It's a beautiful driveway for which I pine. I want a thrill when I park my ride. Give me a driveway that's smooth and wide. My neighbors are jealous, I'm happy to say. Granite Construction made my day.
Our little vineyard is a ton of fun. Seems there's always a job to be done. Now it's time to build that retaining wall and a whole lot of earth to haul. Granite Construction is our go-to crew. Granite Construction, thank you.
My corporate project has got me in a sweat. If I really make it happen, that raise I'll get. It's big and complex, but I can't get uptight. Just got to be sure it's on time and done right. So I went and got the best I could find. Granite Construction, that's project peace of mind.
When you need to find the poetry in a job well done, call 1-800-GRANITE. For construction materials and private and custom jobs of any type, Granite Construction, what can we build for you?
Hi, it's me again. How are you? It occurs to me that amidst the overwhelm of all we have to do this time of year, that we should remember that caring for ourselves is so important. Remember, put your own oxygen mask on first. It's really not hard to keep yourself strong, even when life is crazy. One simple thing. Start with basic nutrition. A simple, affordable bottle of Youngevity colloidal minerals. Everybody needs their minerals. Curb your cravings, keep your energy level and your mood high, and maybe start healthier, not just heavier. It's simple and doable. Call me, Sophie Winnick, 335-3216. Or you can email me at tastyvitamins@yahoo.com. That's tastyvitamins@yahoo.com. And now check out vitamingoddess.com. You'll be glad you did. Take care.
Okay, folks, welcome back. You're tuning into the Saturday Special. My name is Rob Roberts. I'm bold, I'm black, and I'm back, at least for this afternoon, here in the Monterey Bay, Santa Cruz area. This is KSCO 1080 AM on your radio dial. 479-1080 is the phone line. If you want to get involved in the conversation, 475-1080, send me a fax at 475-2967. I'll read it on the air. Okay, back to our conversation we've been having here about the free speech imbroglio that's been going on here the past couple of weeks with this Don Imus thing. And I really think this highlights, well, I don't think it's been borne out, just how troubled and polarized we are as a society. Who owns speech? Okay, who can say what in America? I mean, you know, what is acceptable as opposed to what is no longer acceptable? Well, I guess Don Imus kind of found out because he lost his job. He got fired after some so-called leaders in the black community, foremost amongst whom was Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, made a big deal about what had been said. Nappy-headed hoes was the phrase. Again, from my viewpoint, a rather innocuous comment, particularly in light of some of the things that I hear played on the airwaves every day. Okay? And I'm not no rap listener, let me tell you. But I mean, you know, I live in Oakland. Okay? And, you know, which is a significantly percentage-wise, black-dominated city, okay? Black people, African-Americans in a majority in Oakland, okay? A significant portion. I think they're right around 40, maybe not a majority, maybe 47, 48%. And we got a very, very high murder rate, okay? A lot of it, the majority of it, is blacks killing blacks. We're going to talk about a few inconvenient truths here that highlight and kind of link to, you know, this free speech thing. What's going on? You know, I spoke earlier about, you know, the prolific, absolutely prolific, filthy, embarrassing, as a black American, problems going on in the black community. Like I said, 8 out of 10 black children born out of wedlock. This gets worse. Okay? Just get worse. But we don't hear about that. What about the crime? Like I said earlier, I live in Oakland. You know, the majority of the murders that are in Oakland, that occur in Oakland, are black on black. Okay? Why aren't we talking about these issues? Okay? As opposed to this nappy-headed hoe thing. I mean, you know, again, you can hear 20 times more vituperative, insulting, demeaning lexicon any given day at any given time by tuning in any of the various rap stations, you know, that are profligate throughout, you know, the dial on your radio. You can subject yourself to that anytime you wish, okay? To hear black people demeaning black life, okay? Not demeaning, but enforcing, encouraging some of the most obnoxious, vile stereotypes, okay? Against their own people. You can hear that any day. Okay, blacks beating down blacks, okay, which some people have accused me of doing in the past, okay, in my long-time association with this radio station. So when you tell the truth, when you talk the truth, when you speak truth to hell, power, if you will, when you speak truth to filth, okay, you're going to catch a few barbs. You're going to catch a few arrows, if you will. We need more people speaking out about that and, you know, attempting to change it. But it doesn't change the fact, okay, if you want to get up on your high horse and be self-righteous, okay, that black women have been demeaned for years, stereotyped for years in the black community, and nobody has said a damn thing about it. They've tolerated. There have been a few people, like Bill Cosby, who've been shouted down. But for the most part, the so-called black leaders, and again, I say that, you know, encourage you folks to take an ounce of salt with that. Black leaders, okay, have ignored it, have turned a blind eye to that. Why is that? Well, we all know the answer to that. We all know the answer. Okay, let's take a couple callers here. Let's go to Craig. Actually, let's go to Dave Allen first because he's been waiting for the longest. Welcome, Dave. You're on the Saturday Special with Rob Roberts. How you doing? Dave Allen, how you doing? Well, let me see. I forgot. How you doing, Dave?
All right. Now, if I recall, Al Sharpton, to this day, has not apologized for that Twanda Brawley routine, which is now shown to be a fraud. Girl confessed, was all made up.
You're right. He is not.
He has not once said, I apologize to the white community.
He is not.
God forbid if that was the other way around. hey, another thing. Has Al Sharpton referred to Jews like diamond merchants?
Yeah, he talked he called them Jaimes.
Jesse Jackson said Jaimetown.
Jaimetown.
When he's running for president.
That was Jesse Jackson.
Right.
That was Jesse Jackson called New York Jaimetown.
I don't know if you know, man, but for a while, Al Sharpton was James Brown manager. He even tried to see, he was a little bit in the backup band, always trying to get on the stage.
I know the jigaboo.
James Brown, James Brown fired his ass. There he is standing there at attention by James Brown casket again on TV.
I know.
Now, was it like a couple of months ago? Last time he was kind of getting out of the limelight. He had to come back in where, was it Senator Strong Thurmond's ancestors owned his family? Remember that one?
Right, exactly. I remember that. That was about a quick minute there for a second.
Always something when he's gay.
It's all about making money, man, and getting your face on TV as you
know. What I don't understand, man, is, well, I want to get personal, but a lot of these guys that, you know me, man, you know what I look like. I've been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play with an old black production company back in the 70s. And I saw some stuff being, and what I don't understand is, how come Al Sharpton, all these guys trying to have that, Wolfman Jack hairdo.
That pompadour?
What if it be natural? Be back and be proud.
I don't know what's going on with that, man. I mean, that James Brown, Al Sharpton pompadour, man. I mean, I don't think these people know how stupid they look. Okay?
They know.
I mean, they are being laughed at, man. Big time.
Anyways, man, I was sitting there cracking up. I should have been eating my breakfast, keep my diabetic in check, but I'm doing something. I remember way back, man. We've been around here a long time. I remember way back when you did the whole dissertation. Shocked.
And I know.
People were shocked, horrified, awestruck to be found when you did the routine of the word nigga.
I heard that. I heard that. Jigaboo meter's going off the charts here this morning.
Anyway.
Hey, Dave, thanks a lot for tuning in, man. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to another caller here real quick. We got Craig. No, let me see. That was Westside Al. Westside Al, welcome to KSCO. You're in the Saturday Special with Rob Roberts.
Good morning, my brother.
What's up, my brother?
I got a question for you. I'm going to name three events. So I want you to tell me what the common thread is.
Uh-oh, I feel the jigaboo meter getting ready to go off the charts here.
Okay. What's the common thread between the way the Duke lacrosse players were dealt with, the Imus situation, and the popularity of Barack Hussein Obama?
Oh, no, man. Now, you didn't go there. Why you had to bring up them Duke lacrosse players, man? You know, the news that broke this past week, I know, because you know you're always up on things, as am I. Both you and I have an affinity for keeping abreast of the things that go on around us in our crazy world. But yeah, you're absolutely right, my friend. How come, you know, where's the outrage over these three white boys? Okay, they were erroneously, salaciously accused of committing this so-called rape against this black girl who, quite frankly, let me say it out because I don't want you to get in trouble, was a hoe.
I had trouble figuring out
okay.
how she got five different DNA samples in her.
A black hoe.
Yeah.
In this case. And not to, highlight her color, but in this case, race played an integral part of what transpired here. A black hoe. Like you said, DNA samples taken from this woman indicated she had sex with about four or five different guys.
None of whom was on the lacrosse team.
Exactly.
And you know what, Rob? They shut that program down.
They fired the coach.
They fired the coach. A number of faculty members wrote a big letter of commendation on these guys.
Exactly.
And you know what the common thread is. It's white guilt, brother.
Exactly, man. White guilt.
And it is poison.
And big time.
You know what's going to be the real telling of how poisonous it is? If we all decide that Barack Obama, with 2 years as a U.S. senator under his belt, a few more as a state senator, and a few more as a city alderman in Chicago or some suburb thereof, is fit to lead the most powerful nation in the world.
That's almost as scary, and I want to go ahead and caveat that. that's almost as scary as the thought that a white woman who used to be the first lady of the most, I don't know what to call Bill Clinton anymore, one of the most scandalous, abusing administrations of which she was a part of, okay, it's almost as scary as the thought of her actually having a chance to be president of the United States.
Well, you know, the rush to judge, I mean, the rush to vote for the first woman president or the first black president, I got a better idea. How about if we're going to go that route, we do the first Jewish president and vote for Joe Lieberman?
Hey, there you go.
All right, my brother, I'm going to leave you now.
Take care, man.
Adios.
Thanks for calling into the program. Adios. Vaya con Dios. And that was Westside Al, a friend of mine from way back. Yeah, exactly. He touched on a point about the Duke lacrosse folks, okay? Those, I don't know how many of you are aware, these kids from North Carolina, and I'm a South Carolina boy myself. You know, I got a house down in South Carolina. I just built my home, my dream home down there. And that kind of highlights something else I wanted to touch on briefly. You know, when I was building my house, looking for the land that I was going to build my house in South Carolina, my real estate agent was taking me around to different places, and where I ultimately built my house, this guy used to own, he was one of those good old boys, and he owned the whole subdivision where I'm at. He subsequently sold the land to the developer, made a, you know, a boatload of money. And one day she's showing me this plot of land, again, where I ultimately built my home, and she says, "You know, Rob, I just want to apologize." I said, what are you talking about apologizing? Remember now, put this into context. You know, my realtor was, a white woman. And she said, "Well, your neighbor has some peccadillos, if you will." I said, "What are you talking about?" And she goes, "Well, see down there in that tree line?" And there was big old Confederate flag flying on a flagpole. And she said, "I just want to apologize." I said, "Well, apologize for what? I'm not offended." Well, and then she looked at me kind of incredulously, and I said, "Why the hell should I be offended? Okay, this is America. He has a right to fly that flag anytime, any place he wants. It's like I have the right to fly my American flag, okay, in the front of my house. As long as he keeps to his side of the street and he respects me, I'm going to respect him. I don't take offense." But for years, a lot of black folk down in South Carolina have been raising hell, okay, over the Confederate flag being flown in South Carolina. It used to be part of the state flag. And, you know, for them black people, and again, this just ticks me off. Don't we have more important things to do? Don't we have more important things to worry about if you want to compartmentalize and talk about the black community? Like how 8 out of 10 children are born illegitimately? Okay, don't we have more important things to talk about in the black community, like how 60% of our children don't graduate from high school? Don't we have more important things to talk about, like blacks murdering blacks on the streets of Oakland? Okay, don't we have more important things to do and more important things to talk about the things that are ravaging and tearing apart our community? Let's get real here, people. Don't we have more important things to talk about than a damn flag? You know, I'm going to fly that flag in front of my house. I'm going to fly that Confederate flag because unlike the legions of stupid Americans, okay, I know the history behind that flag. I know that black soldiers fought under that flag for the Confederacy. Because I'm a student of history. Because I'm an educated man. I'm a man of letters. And I know this to be true. Yes, black Americans fought for the Confederacy. And they fought and died under that flag. And I'm able, because I am an educated, not an emotional rube, like a large portion of black America still remain today, I'm not an emotional rube. Because I know my history. Okay? And I can put it into context. That does not offend me in the least. The flying of that flag. It does not offend me. Because I'm able to put it into its historical context as opposed to its emotional context. And I know the history. Why should I be offended? Why should this white woman, and she's a great gal, sold me my, you know, my plot of land, wonderful lady. Why, white guilt again? Why would she assume that I would be offended? That flag doesn't mean anything to me. It does not offend me in the least. I think I'm going to fly it on my house. I'm going to fly it. Unless some black fool come up to me and say anything, okay? Because in South Carolina, we got concealed carry, all right? I have more important things to worry about than some damn flag, than trying to start some boycott. They're trying to boycott, you know, they've had a boycott going on for a couple weeks. These things are trivial in comparison to the things that we as a people need to be concerned about. When I say we as a people, I'm talking about Americans. Because above all, I'm an American. I'm an American who happens to be black. Okay? And I don't allow myself to get emotionally overwrought over trivial things. I'm able to see the big picture, and I prioritize in my life. As far as I'm concerned, they can put the stars and bars on the South Carolina flag. That does not offend me in the least, because I know the history behind it. It does not offend me. Don't we have more important things to worry about in America than a damn flag? All right, let me go. Who's been waiting here? Uh-oh, I got to go to Craig in San Jose. He's been waiting the longest. Craig, welcome to the Saturday Special. You're in the air, KSCO, 1080 a.m. with Rob Roberts.
Yeah, hey, Rob. It's good hearing your voice again on the air.
Thank you.
Yeah, this ladies' basketball team, now they, what did they say? They were really mad about what Don Imus said, but were they asked about like what you were talking about, what the black rappers do every day? Well, because it was directed at them personally, is that why they?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you noticed that the so-called public, at the press conference, all of the nappy-headed hoes had their hair straightened out. You know, I mean, and again, I'm just mentioning this to highlight the hypocrisy. These girls had played, Tennessee basketball team a couple of nights earlier, and they had lost. And a number of these girls, and Don Imus simply remarked upon, they got tattoos. Why any woman, let alone a black woman, would want to defigure herself by putting a damn tattoo on her is beyond me. I don't understand that mindset, okay? But, you know, this is America. You can do what you want to do within reason. Okay, but they had their hair in cornrows and all this culturally, you know, whatever stuff, hairdos. But for the press conference, every one of those girls, and there's two white girls on the team, but every one of those black girls had their hair combed out and it was straightened. Okay, so again, you know, I'm just highlighting this to show you the deep-seated hypocrisy that exists not only in the black community, but in this country when it comes to race. Okay, you know how they figured they had to, you know, address that issue, and that's something that's been going on in the black community for a long time. You know, dark skinned people as opposed to lighter skinned people like myself, and there's a great degree of self hatred in that regard in the black community for a long, long time, particularly among black women who feel, and rightly so, that darker skinned black women. And again, this is one of those inconvenient truths that I spoke about earlier, feel that they've been demeaned, that they've been made, you know, they've been caricatured, okay, to be worthless, less worthy, you know, of beauty. The whole beauty thing has been redefined downward in the case of dark-skinned black women, as opposed to lighter-skinned women like Vanessa Williams, for instance, you know, comes readily to mind. So that's, you know, that's one of those, you know, emotional, you know, social issues that really are inherent within the black community, unfortunately, but it just highlights how much dissension and debate and hatred there is in the black community amongst ourselves.
Well, okay. I guess that kind of answered some of my question there. Were they asked, though, about, you know, about the black rap music?
Yeah, and they played it off, as, you know, most so-called black leaders have done. Basically, their answer was, to be specific to your question, basically their answer was, well, we can go ahead and call our hoes hoes because, you know, it's an artist. You know, we're talking about artistic license. That's how they explain it. When the rappers call black women hoes and bitches and hoes, that's artistic license. okay? But when a white man refers to that, okay, and uses that euphemism, hoes, then it's racism. Now, if you understand that, okay, my hat's off to you, okay? Because I don't get it. I don't get it. And you know what? You know what really got me? And this is no doubt truthful. A lot of these black women probably have iPods like I do, or MP3 players, and I'm willing to bet my life on it that they have rap music on there, and they listen to themselves being called bitches and hoes. They buy that crap, and they play it all the time. Okay, so again, this highlights the hypocrisy within the black community, and again highlights the white guilt because, you know, white folks, and I'm speaking in general terms here, let black folks get away with this crap, okay, and redefine themselves as a separate community. And, you know, so my question to this is, hey, look, are we Americans or what? Hey, look, thanks a lot for calling the program today.
Hey, one more question, Rob, can I?
Yeah, well, I got to go to a break real quick. If you don't mind holding on, I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold.
I just want to ask you how your son's doing in the military.
He's doing great, and I'm going to give you a more specific answer when I come back, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for asking. Folks, you're tuning to KSCO 1080 AM. My name is Rob Roberts. I'm Bo, and I'm black, and I'm back, at least for this afternoon in the Monterey, Santa Cruz communities. Stay tuned. It's a Saturday special. I'm sitting in for Michael Swerling, and you won't want to touch that dial. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, James Clark here, head coach of the SoCal Capitola Sharks football team. The 2007 season is finally here, and the Sharks are looking stronger than ever. This week on Saturday, 12 noon at SoCal High School, admission is $6 for adults, $3 for seniors, and all children under 12 for free. You can also catch all the action on KOMY 1340 AM and KOMYRadio.com with Kyle Rohr, the voice of the Soca Sharks.
So you want to come play at our beaches? Don't go near the water. Soca Shark football, it's feeding time.
I have a secret passion. Sundays at 4, and then at 5, some more. Peeling off my persona suit, opening wide my mind, letting him take me to places only dreamed of with brilliant wit, wisdom, and wicked elan. If you dare, I'll share. Dave Allen, Sundays at 4 and at 5, some more on AM 1080, KSCO.
Recycling in the unincorporated areas of Santa Cruz County is not just a good idea.
It's the law.
I'm Mari Segura, Public Education Coordinator with the County of Santa Cruz, Department of Public Works. My job is to get important information to you. Today I have information so important that I brought Program Manager Patrick Matthews in to tell you about it. Patrick, is it true that recycling is now mandatory?
Yes, Mari. Our Buena Vista landfill has only 15 years of capacity left, and we have to do everything possible to extend the life of our landfill. That's why the County Board of Supervisors passed an ordinance making recycling mandatory.
What does that mean for residents of the county?
Mandatory recycling means that the county will no longer accept recyclables in your trash. No papers, cans, bottles, boxes, green waste, or anything else that can be recycled. The law is now in full effect, and any trash can or truck that contains recyclables will not be accepted for disposal until the recyclables are put in their proper place.
How can people learn more about mandatory recycling, Patrick?
By calling our Public Works office at 454-2160 or by logging on SantaCruzCountyRecycles.org.
Welcome back, folks. You tune into the Saturday special here in KSCO 1080 AM. My name is Rob Roberts. I'm sitting in for my friend, Michael Swerling, who's out of town this weekend, graciously asked me to sit in for him, and I graciously accepted. Let's go to get a quick cell call in here from Cindy, because I know folks are in cell. They're liable to get lost. So let's put her in the air real quick. Cindy in Monterey, welcome to the Saturday special. You're in the air with Rob Roberts.
Good morning. I'm in the car, so I'm just going to leave my statement and then hang up and let you answer on the radio so I can hear you, if that's all right.
Yes, ma'am. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. I could lose you in any second. I wanted to let you know how long people are going to have to call themselves African-Americans before they start calling themselves Americans. And how come we don't see a lot of African-Americans, or so proud of that, heading to Africa to go visit their roots and see where they're from? I see them heading to Disneyland or Tahiti or South America. I don't see them going to Africa, because if they were going to any place in Africa, unless you're very rich, you're going to see a whole lot of stuff that you're going to be so glad when you get off the plane, when you get back here, that you're going to kiss the ground and decide you're going to be an American after all.
Amen, my sister. Amen.
So I've been enjoying the show this morning very much. Going to hang up and let you just give me some thoughts on that.
Oh, you know I will, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling the show. You know, Cindy, she just nailed it. Nailed it as usual. You know, first of all, let me tell you something. You folks know me. I'm an American who just happens to be black, and that's what I tell folks. Okay, I'm an American. That's my birthright. I don't have anything in common with no damn Africa. You understand? And I don't want anything in common with Africa other than the fact that my great, 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 great grandmother and my father may have come from there. Okay? On my dad's side. But other than that, I have no affinity. Have you looked at Africa lately? You know how dysfunctional that place is? That's embarrassing, man. Again, another inconvenient truth. Oh, Rob, you're in your self-hating mode. No, Rob is in his truth-telling mode. All those countries in Africa that are run by black folk, black governments, are incompetent. They're bestial in the way they treat their own people. They can't blow their damn noses, okay? Look at what's going on. Pick the map of Africa and look at it. Anywhere you touch where black folks are running things, they have mucked it up. That's right. I said mucked it up, not the other one. M-U-C-K-E-D. Mucked it up. Okay? That's an inconvenient truth that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but it is the truth. One of the most largest, best success stories is South Africa on the African continent, and that was founded and run by white folks. Okay, until about 15, 18 years ago. Now, I know that's going to make some people uncomfortable, but it is the truth. And the reason South Africa remains successful is they have not changed anything. The races have worked together, unlike the majority of the African continent, who are all caught up in this tribalism. You go from Kenya to Nigeria, take your pick. Guyana, anywhere you want to go that is run by blacks is incompetent and it ain't working. I want to address something real quick before we go to break here at the top of the hour. We got another hour to go on the Saturday special. That's right. I'm bold. I'm black and I'm back. I want to talk about my son here real quick because one of the callers earlier asked about him. I have two boys that I raised by myself after I got divorced, and my youngest son is currently serving our great nation on active duty with the United States Air Force. And Matthew just spent about a month, actually 23 days with his old man. He was on leave. Both of the kids are doing well, for those of you who are interested. My son was in the was in Kuwait at the beginning of the war, my younger son, and he's an aircraft mechanic, works on the large airplanes, a transport aircraft. He was in Kuwait for about 47 days before and after the war started because they were short mechanics, and he went back to Japan, and he's currently stationed in England. Just got promoted. He's a staff sergeant. So I'm really proud of Matthew. He loves the Air Force, loves the military, and if you can believe it, the kid is to the right of me. We had some wonderful conversations while he was out here, and he kind of threw his old man for a loop because my boy is definitely not only a chip but a brick off the old block. So, it's nice and refreshing to hear that. And particularly, both the kids turned out wonderful, as I like to say, despite my best efforts. But two young black men who were raised by their dad after divorce. And I raised them, boys. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the next hour. Brittany and June in Santa Cruz, if you want to hang on, I'll get to you right at the top of the next hour. If you want to call back, I'll take you in the order that you call. I apologize for not getting to you guys sooner. This is Rob Roberts. This is the Saturday special. I'm sitting in for Michael Swerling on KSCO 1080 AM. It's been hot, and it's going to get hotter in the next hour. You got my word on it. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. You won't want to be left out.
Minute news and the best in talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rod Fritz. The death toll going up after a parked car exploded near a holy shrine in Karbala. 50 miles south of Baghdad. Iraqi officials say at least 55 people were killed, 70 wounded. Crowds had been streaming through the area to evening prayers.
The bomb went off in the city center, destroying shops and hotels. The explosion happened at 7 in the evening when the area was full of people heading for evening prayers. Karbala is one of Shiite Islam's holiest shrines and the site of many previous attacks. Another car bomb on April the 14th killed 47. Anita McNaught, Baghdad, Fox News Radio.
And in Pakistan, a suicide bomber targeting the interior minister at a public meeting killed 22 people, wounded 35, the minister and his son among those hurt. President Bush taking on immigration reform on two fronts today. First, in his weekly radio address.
We need a system where our laws are respected. We need a system that meets the legitimate needs of our economy. And we need a system that treats people with dignity and helps newcomers assimilate into our society.
And later this evening, during the president's commencement address to the graduates of Miami-Dade College, Mr. Bush challenging Congress to come up with a respectable immigration bill. The president continues to stand by his promise to veto a war funding bill, which should land on his desk this week. But a retired Army general who says he's neither Democrat nor Republican is urging President Bush to sign this legislation.
The bill that Congress approved this week with bipartisan support, setting schedules for withdrawal, provides the president an opportunity to begin this kind of strategic shift, one that defines regional stability as the measure of victory, not some impossible outcome.
Lieutenant General William Odom says he was asked to make the Democratic response by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Bill McCuddy, Fox News Radio, and we're spending a few minutes with David Hyde Pierce. You're back on Broadway.
Yes, doing a new musical, Curtains, at the Hirschfeld Theater.
Now, what is that about?
It is a murder mystery musical.
No interior designers are harmed?
No, it has nothing to do with that. No, it's Curtains as in theater curtain, and also Curtains as in you're dead.
The City of Angels-esque, or?
I suppose you could say that. It's sort of its own thing. It takes place in 1959 at the out-of-town tryout of a musical coming to Broadway, and somebody gets murdered, and they bring in a detective from Boston. Solve the murder, but he also has a secret love of musicals. So he not only tries to solve the crime, but also to fix the musical.
Your old buddy Kelsey Grammer is going to do another sitcom, and he's sort of going to be lampooning us because it's about the news business.
Oh.
Action News.
Oh, are you okay with that?
Well, I don't know. Should we be?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen a script, but he's very good, so you couldn't be lampooned by anyone better.
People who want more information, www.actionalz.org. And we have been spending a few minutes with David Hyde Pierce. I'm Bill McCuddy for Fox News Radio.
Thanks, Bill.
Firefighters in southeast Georgia continue to battle a stubborn blaze, wildfire charring over 60,000 acres, and as Fox News' Jonathan Seri reports, crews are fighting to put that fire out on several fronts.
More than 700 firefighters are battling multiple blazes. The largest fire, the Sweat Farm Road Fire, that fire alone has consumed more than 66,000 acres. In fact, it's considered the largest fire in recorded history here in the state of Georgia.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. A march through the Ninth Ward in New Orleans today, led by the Reverend Jesse Jackson, upset that the federal government is not moving fast enough to rebuild the Big Easy. Jackson says Uncle Sam pitched in after 9/11, but has done little after Katrina.
In New York, several $1 billion went from Washington to Albany, New York, and straight down to New York, so Giuliani could begin to rebuild. Here, $20 to $25 billion has gone from Washington to Baton Rouge, and it's still there. The money has not gotten here. The resources have not gotten here. So there is no coordinated federal state plan to rebuild the city.
Animal rights groups calling on reporters to treat pets with respect.
That's Mr. Fluffy to you, pal. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals asking the nation's journalists to stop referring to animals as inanimate objects. Use he, she, or who instead of it. Sending their plea to the Associated Press, the request not without precedent.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
And how could we forget?
I am Miss Piggy.
PETA says it's time to give animals the respect and the personal pronouns they deserve. They say chickens and pigs have feelings, and they are intelligent creatures, not objects. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
LSU quarterback Jamarcus Russell, the number one pick in the NFL draft to the Oakland Raiders. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, April 28th, 2007. Today, you can expect mostly sunny conditions with highs near 80 degrees. Calm winds will become west, southwest around 6 miles an hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around 50 degrees. And tomorrow will be mostly sunny with highs near 71 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, along with patchy fog and lows around 47 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 10 knots, wind waves 1 to 2 feet, and a northwest swell 4 to 9 feet at 13 seconds. Currently, the temperature here at the station is a beautiful 61 degrees. Coming up next, hour number 2 of the Saturday special, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Michael's Whirling Saturday Special here on KSCO 1080 AM.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
I love that lead in. What that woman. That's back in the day when women were women and men were men. Welcome back, folks. You're tuning in to KSCO 1080 AM on your radio dial. This is a Saturday special, usually chaired by my friend Michael Swirling, who's out of town this week. Mike asked me to fill in for him. Always happy to do that. And he's out in Salt Lake City, Utah, this weekend. And looking forward to his return. You know, Michael and I took him out to dinner about a week ago. And we went over to Marin County to one of Mike's favorite places. Really great restaurant. And I'm not going to mention it on the air because I don't want all you folks going there. It's a great little Italian restaurant. But anyway, Mike and I had a great meal, and we were having some wonderful conversations. We always do when we get together. And at the end of the evening, we were getting ready to leave. I noticed because, you know, the place gradually filled up. And I noticed, I said, hey, to myself, I didn't share this with Michael, I'm the only black person in this place. Okay? And but you know something? Didn't make a hill of beans to me because I'm comfortable wherever I'm at because I am an American, first and foremost, who just happens to be black. Welcome back to the Saturday special. You're tuning in to KSCO Radio, 1080 AM on your dial. The number to call me is 479-1080, 475-1080. Send me a fax at 475-2967. We're going to go right to the phone lines here because we have a caller who's been waiting, June in Santa Cruz. She's been waiting for quite some time. I want to get her on the air and hear what she has to say. Welcome to the Saturday special. June, you're on the air with Rob Roberts.
Hi, Rob Roberts. So good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
I used to listen to your show a long time ago.
Well, thank you for still being a listener.
And I recognize your voice so very easily.
Thank you.
And also remember you said that you mentioned about you were a nurse a long time ago.
I am a nurse, honey. I'm a registered nurse.
Oh, and then you must know a lot of people suffering from diabetes type 2.
Yes, ma'am. I'm an oncology nurse, oncology / med-surg nurse, but I do take care of a lot of people who have diabetes.
Do you know do you hear about a new discovery, adult stem cell discovery? Do you know?
Yeah, I've heard about stem cell research, and I got to tell you that, you know, from a strictly, and I'm trying to be as dispassionate and objective as I can, you know, stem cell research theoretically holds a lot of promise, but there are no guarantees.
No, they discover the adult stem cell if a person has diabetes type 2, treated with adult stem cell does not need insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the news, just the 12th of this month, I heard it.
Let me interject something. I want to caution you about that. That's one test, and, you know, it's not universally, you know, accepted. So
not authorities proved it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not proved yet?
No, it hasn't been proved. It's in a testing phase. There have been some encouraging results.
I thought this is working. It does not need insulin.
Well,
it's treated with adults themselves.
It's working with some folks. It was a very small test. I'm familiar with what you're speaking about because I remember reading it in one of my journals, and it is a small test. There have been some encouraging results, yes.
Oh.
There have been some encouraging results. Okay, with a proportion of the people that were in the study regarding stem cell, but it's not been universally, you know, this is a cure. No, that's not the case. It's a study that's ongoing.
I see.
Okay. But there have been some, you know, encouraging results.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. The second thing I want to say, congratulations for being a successful father. You got two wonderful sons.
I know that. Thank you
very
much.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank you.
And
so am I.
Yeah, okay, yeah, bye.
Thank you very much for calling the program today. Okay, you know what? I understand earlier that one of my favorite people, and Michael and I were discussing his mother, as we often do, because I love Ms. Whirling. she's something. And her and her husband were very, very kind to me and my family a number of years ago. I've never forgotten that. And I've enjoyed listening to some of her infamous, some might say famous, critiques on the radio station. I've enjoyed that very much. And so we're going to play, I understand, one of the latest of her insightful cuts. And before we go on any longer, because I so enjoy hearing those, and unfortunately I don't get a chance to listen to them as much as I'd like. So we're going to go ahead and cue that up, Dave. Well, we don't have any dead air. So are you going to cue that up, or you still want me to continue to... You want me to still talk for a little bit? Okay, I can do that. Talk and I can do. We're going to go ahead and take another quick call here before we play that cut by Miss Whirling. But... And I know a lot of people, you know, call her by first name, but I just can't do that because I have too much respect for the lady. And I was brought up by two wonderful parents. That's right. I came from a two-parent household. Okay. And one of the things that my mama taught me real early was you show respect to your elders. Okay. You show respect to adults. Okay. And after I got slapped upside my head about once or twice, it only took me about two times, I deeply ingrained that lesson into my consciousness. Okay. And that's something else that's missing. We've become very coarse as a society, and we're getting coarser as the days go on. Let's go to Brittany real quick in Santa Cruz. Brittany, welcome to the Saturday Special in the Air with Rob Roberts.
Hi, Rob.
Yes, ma'am. How can I assist you?
This is the first time I ever talked on the air on a radio station.
Well, but welcome.
I was having lunch, and I just turned my radio station to you know how you just turn? And I heard your voice, and it was very negative. And you mentioned Dawn Imus.
In what way was it negative, ma'am?
When you were saying about Dawn what his name?
Yes, ma'am.
Originally from the New York area.
Yes, ma'am.
And he has problems with local all the time. We had a lot of trouble with him.
What type of trouble? Can you be more specific?
The type of trouble that he got fired about. He seemed to always make racial statements just out of the blue. But what I call about, not Dawn Imus, because Al Sharpton took care of that very nicely. I was listening, and you are a different person, because what you were saying later sort of paralleled my life. I have two sons. One of my sons was in Desert Storm. My grandfather was a Buffalo soldier. My father was in World War II. You see, my brother was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm trying to say?
It's becoming clear as time goes on.
And I'm from the South, and I was raised up by great-great-grandmothers, and just like you say, you got knocked over the head a time or two, and you shaped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to Mrs. Swirly. I don't want to mess the name up. Michael's mother.
Yeah, Mrs. Whirling.
She just terrific.
Yeah, she's a wonderful gal.
Her commentary cracks me up sometimes. But
yes,
what I call about, Rob, was
yes,
the
ma'am.
Fact that you were sounding like Dawn Imus when you said you noticed those black girls, dogs. My mother was very dark skinned. I look like my mother. Everybody say I'm beautiful.
I'm sure you are, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm not maybe dark like my mother, because Indian is in my family. My Buffalo Soldier grandfather married a full-blooded Indian when he was buffaloing the park.
I'm a quarter.
West Coast.
I'm one quarter Cherokee myself, ma'am.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm very proud. I'm very proud of my heritage. I'm what they call a mutt. Okay.
I think we all are.
I got a little bit of everything in me, and I'm proud of all my heritage, and I recognize it. But the heritage that I'm most proud of is the fact that I'm an American. That's number one.
Because that's all you know.
No, I know a great deal more than that.
I mean,
ma'am.
You where you live and grew up and bone, this is your country.
Oh, yes, ma'am. But now there you go. You know, you're supposing things because you really don't know me. I'm a very well-traveled individual. Been all over the world, ma'am. Okay, I would I better not go there because I'll fall into a trap.
No.
But I would go ahead and say to you that I've been a great deal many places on this world continent. I've been to about 30 different countries, ma'am. I'm very well traveled.
Okay, that's very good. But what I didn't like, Rob, you were saying you sounded like Dawn Imus. You said you noticed all those black bitches. Why you talk about the rappers and they had all the hair straightened? We straightened our hair from day one. In the 60s was when we said we don't need to do that
can
anymore.
Can I respond to that?
Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
we went natural.
May I?
We was fine and we progressed and made some steps.
Ma'am.
But what you were saying, Rob, was very negative.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And I just didn't like it about you was a light in it. But I was married to an interracial male for 20 years, my husband.
Your husband
he
was white, man?
His father was white. His mother was another Lena Horne.
Right.
So you kind of see where I am? And
can I
was
respond
wonderful.
To that, ma'am, please?
The way you was wording it, Rob,
I respect that. Can I respond that to that, please? Let me respond to that, real, ma'am. Does the word satire have any meaning for you?
The satire thing is no. I don't think I would want to do with a person does satire because they want to get away with something that they really want to say like me and you are talking.
Okay,
they
well, here's the point. Let me make a point.
You satirize while I
let me make a point. We have a lot of problems in the black community, and there's very few people, particularly in this country, who are willing to discuss that, certainly not white people, because they've been cowed into silence. Okay? And so it is my intention, it's always been my intention. I practice this on a daily basis. Okay? I'm not going to ignore the warts in my community, you know, at the risk of whatever. I'm not trying to make money off being black like Jesse Jackson and the Al Sharptons. In other words, I'm not a race pimp. Okay? Like those two so-called black leaders. And by the way, I don't need anybody to lead me. I'm an educated individual. I think for myself. That's my point. Okay, and I've always used satire and a little bit comedy to highlight the problems in this country, you know, the racial problems and the racial stereotypes that we have. And again, let me respond specifically to what you said. We have a lot of problems in the black community, okay, and there's a lot of inconvenient truths. Like you mentioned about the light skin, you and I both know, if you've been black more than 5 minutes, and I certainly have, that there's always been a problem in our community. You mentioned Lena Horne. She was hated by a lot of blacks because she was so light-skinned, and a lot of people talked about her trying to be white. You know that as well as I do.
No. No one hated Lena Horne. They might have disagreed with her or didn't like
what
she was doing if you read in between lines.
No, ma'am. I don't read in between lines. I read along the lines.
You can't trust a person like that. I'm telling you, I was married to an interracial. When they get with their other half of their race, their affinity, they are different. They can't win. So what they do, they go along, and sometimes they can't change by the time they get back to the black community.
Right.
That's all I am saying, Rob.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't like a black man in particular saying bitches and hoes about I'm from Newark, New Jersey.
Well, let me
honey,
interrupt
don't
you.
Don't do that. You don't know
hold
how sad you find.
Yes,
it.
Ma'am.
What I'm trying to do, ma'am. I had to call. This is the first time I ever done this.
Thank you for calling.
And if you making money, like you mentioned, Jesse Jackson, off in the black community, that's fine with me, Rob. You know why? Because that's all the white man do. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't I make some off me too?
Okay.
And thanks, Rob, for being nice and gentlemanlike, and I appreciate you taking my
call.
Yes,
ma'am. I'm a Southern gentleman.
Where are you from?
I'm from South Carolina.
And I'm from Georgia.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for calling
the
show.
I grew up there in the 50s.
Thank you for calling the show this morning. And I would never be anything other than respectful to you, ma'am.
And thank you.
God bless you. Have a good weekend.
And you too.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Really enjoyed taking that call there. Brought up a couple interesting points, and she was very, very nice lady, and I'm definitely going to respect her for that. But it just goes, there are some, there's a huge amount of difference of opinion within the black community on certain things. But she said something which kind of disturbed me because it wasn't true. Maybe she came in the wrong, at the end of what I was talking about, one of my monologues. I'm not calling black women bitches and hoes. I'm simply repeating, okay, black women are referred to by many in their own community. I'm simply repeating and highlighting the inequities and the hypocrisy that exists in this country, and particularly in the black community, okay, the denial, because their own women are demeaned. I got to tell you something. There's nothing so funny to me and insightful as a group of black people, okay, that pay money to go see a Chris Rock or any one of these other so-called comedians, and they pay money now, and they're in the room now, visualize this. They've paid money, and they sit there in the room, and for an hour, hour and a half, hear themselves poked fun at, demeaned, their culture demeaned, behaviors that are endemic and systemic to the community, highlighted and demeaned, and some of the most vile, vituperative, filthy crap, and they laugh about it for an hour, hour and a half. They laugh at it. Now, is that an insightful visual or what? Okay, I don't have any Chris Rock videos in my house. I don't play it. My kids weren't allowed to play it when they were growing up. Okay, the point being, okay, you need to remove the beam from your own eye. We have a lot of race hustlers and pimps, jigaboo meter going off the map again, jigaboo meter going off the charts again with the Jesse Jacksons. And, I just heard him on the news. Dave was playing him on Fox News about Jesse Jackson down in New Orleans. The man can't even say Baton Rouge without sounding like a rube, okay? And one of the inconvenient truths. Let's talk about, just for a second, real quick. Let's talk about Katrina. You had a history, a history in this city of large black population, overwhelming population. I think it was like 467,000 people were in the city pre-Katrina, and there's only about 176,000 there now. And all these people, majority of them black, I think the city was like 52% black, African-American, whatever terminology you wish to utilize. These people went to other cities. The crime rates went up in all the cities. Houston, wherever they sent these black people, majority black people, again, an inconvenient truth, okay, that's not being reported in the media, crime rates in Houston shot up like 30%. Okay, and it's not just black people, but the majority of black people who are committing these crimes are black people, the overwhelming majority. So you got Mayor Nagin down there who refers to these are his words, Chocolate City. Again, here, turning up the, playing this race thing, okay? Now, with less than about 30% of their pre-Katrina population, do you know that the murder rate in New Orleans is now 3 to 4 times what it was before 200,000 people left the city? And the majority of this crime is being committed by black people in black communities against other black people. But you're not hearing that. Again, another inconvenient truth. Now, some people choose to ignore that. I'm sure that's on the mind of a lot of Americans, a lot of white Americans. But they won't speak that. They won't talk to that because of that ingrained white guilt. I have no such shortcomings in that regard. These are things that we need to talk about that need to be in a dialogue. We can't ignore it. We need to talk about these things because they are truths. Less than one-third of the pre-Katrina population, and the crime has gone up 3 to 4 times as these people trickle back into the city. The crime rate goes up. Why is that? Why do black people have to behave, and why can't they behave like decent citizens? Well, when you got 8 out of 10 black boys being raised by black women without a father, without a husband in the house, without the baby daddy in the house, my baby daddy, excuse my lapse into Ebonics, that's the problem that you have. Dave, are we ready to play that now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, let's go with it.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Putting it as bluntly as radio will allow, I believe the newly elected Liberal Congress is trying its best to emasculate President Bush and the American presidency. The same foolish mentality which believes that gun control will make our nation safer while criminals will always obtain guns is the same mentality that believes that we must tell the enemy in Iraq and Iran that we will stop fighting on a certain date. These thinkers are not capable of being leaders. True, President Bush and the present administration have made mistakes in Iraq. Besides faulty intelligence, too skimpy, too late, not enough troops, because politics gets in the way of lawmakers not wanting the draft because their reelections are more important than defending our country adequately. This new liberal Congress is making matters worse, not better. So long as we are divided, not together as a country, we will remain weak and the enemy will win. Now hear this. This is a contribution request. Dear friends and relatives, we have the distinguished honor of being on the committee to raise $5 million for a monument to Bill Clinton. We originally wanted to put him on Mount Rushmore until we discovered there was not enough room for 2 more faces. We then decided to erect a statue of Bill Clinton in the Washington, D.C. Hall of Fame. We're having a bit of difficulty as to where the statue should be placed. It's not proper to place it beside the statue of George Washington, who never told a lie, or beside Jesse Jackson, who never told the truth, since Bill Clinton could never tell the difference. We finally decided to place it beside Christopher Columbus, the greatest Democrat of them all. He left not knowing where he was going, and when he got there, he didn't know where he was. He returned not knowing where he had been, and did it all on someone else's money. If you are one of the fortunate people who have anything left after taxes, we expect a generous contribution to this worthwhile project. Thank you, Bill Clinton Monument Committee. P.S. The committee has raised $1.35 so far. P.P.S. And another thing, let me get this straight. Bill Clinton is getting $12 million for his memoirs. His wife Hillary got $8 million for hers. That's $20 million for memories from two people who for 8 years repeatedly testified under oath that they couldn't remember anything. Thanks, Marcia, for KSCO and KOMY. This is Kay Zwirling.
You go, girl. Was that, did she nail that or what? Hey, look, folks, we're going to take a real quick station break here. We got to pay a few bills. We'll be right back with some more hot talk here on KSCO 1080, the Saturday special. This is Rob Roberts. I'm bold, I'm black, and I'm back, at least for this afternoon, in the Monterey, Santa Cruz Bay Area, sitting in for my friend Michael Zwirling on the Saturday special. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We got 29 more minutes of hot talk coming at you.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and I and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
This is Judy DeVilbiss. Hi, you know what? Back in about March of this year, I actually took a flying leap off of my bicycle and landed right square on my knees and my chest. Thank God I didn't hit my head, but I did really rack up my knee big time. And you know what I did? I didn't go to the doctor. I just came home and started with ice packs, the essential oils, the trauma oil, and every day I rubbed a lot of the CM cream from Youngevity. I'm telling you what, the Youngevity products are something that can really take care of you. I did this regime probably straight for 4 weeks, and every day I was taking three of the CM capsules three times a day. I took care of myself, and you know what? Here it is now, and it did take a while, I'll admit, because, hey, you know what? I'm 66 years old. But you know what? I'm back on the bicycle, I'm running races, and I'm feeling great. Get started on the Youngevity products. Call 888-352-7500. Thanks.
There's a new show on the radio on Wednesdays, and it's got all the dogs and cats talking. It's Dr. Pete's Pet Puri, where pet owners can call in to talk about anything related to their furry or feathered friends. If you've got a question about medicine, food, or behavior, give us a call. Do you know about dog agility events? How about canine water rescue competitions? Talk with the vet and find out about the latest designer cat or dog breeds. Join me, Dr. Pete Kiesling, on Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on 1080 KSCO.
It's back. Let's Go Fishing with Mike Baxter every Thursday night at 7 p.m. right here on AM 1080 KSCO.
Hello, James Clark here, head coach of the SoCal Capitola Sharks football team. The 2007 season is finally here, and the Sharks are looking stronger than ever. This week on Saturday, 12 noon at SoCal High School, admission is $6 for adults, $3 for seniors, and all children under 12 for free. You can also catch all the action on KOMY 1340 AM and KOMYRadio.com with Kyle Rohr, the voice of the SoCal Sharks.
So you want to come play at our beaches? Don't go near the water. SoCal Shark football, it's feeding time.
Okay, let's get ready for kindergarten. Backpack?
Yep.
Jacket?
Yep.
Dental appointment?
Mommy, how's it going to help me get ready for school?
I want to make sure you don't have any cavities.
Hi, I'm Assemblymember John Laird, and like you, I believe your child's health is important. That's why the new dental checkup requirement for children entering kindergarten is important, so that all children can be ready to learn. Parents, get more information at cda.org or call 800-CDA-SMILE.
Paid for by the California Dental Association.
Ho, and welcome back. You tuned in to Michael's Whirling Saturday Special. My name is Rob Roberts here on KSCO 1080 AM on the radio dial. We're having a pretty interesting conversation about free speech and where it takes us, race, politics, all those hot-button issues that constitute the third rail here in America. But before I go into any further, I need to get to a couple of these calls because some of these folks have been waiting for a while. So we're going to go ahead and go to Big Jim right now. He's been on wait on hold for longest. Welcome, Big Jim, to KSCO this Saturday Special. You're on the air with Rob Roberts.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. God is good.
Hey, you know, Rob, back 10 years ago or so when you were regular there every Saturday, I'll tell you, that was the best thing on radio.
Thank you very much.
That show you had.
You're way too kind.
No, really, I'm not kidding. And believe it or not, I used to plan my Saturdays around being able to spend those couple hours listening to you.
Hey man, let me tell you something real quick as an aside. That's very humbling to hear, and thank you so very much for your kindness in that regard. But, you know, I told a story here a couple years ago. You know, I'm a, well, I was an ED nurse up in the Bay Area, And this is a true story, man. One night I was working in the ER a couple years ago, and it got pretty busy at Highland, which is where I work, which is a trauma center for Alameda County. If you get shot or stabbed, and unfortunately a lot of folks do up there, that's where you want to go. We got the best trauma team in the Bay Area. But one of these couple was in getting some care in the emergency room, and they heard my voice. And they said, the husband came up to me. He was there with his wife. She had cancer, and they were getting some treatment in the ED, and she was having a little bit of problem. And he said, excuse me, sir, but you sound like somebody that I used to listen to on the radio. And I said, okay. And he said, the guy's name was Rob Robertson. I said, well, look at my name tag. There it is. The reason I share that with you is it's always a humbling experience when folks like you come back to me with stuff like that, because I guess over the years I have managed to touch a few people, and it's very humbling. I want you to let you know that when I get feedback like that from folks like you, thank you very much for your kind comments.
Yeah, it's certainly great to turn on the radio and hear you. I want to say this, Rob. I think that the time is definitely right for America to have its first black president, but I don't think by any means it should be Barack Hussein Obama.
No.
I think it should be Rob Roberts.
Well, thank you very
much.
And
I know when I talked to you about that back in the old days, you said you had no desire to ever get involved in politics. I don't know if you still feel that way or
well,
not.
Well, I did run for Congress once, and I ran for Mayor of Salinas twice, so okay. I was bitten by the bug. But you got to understand something, Jim, and I know you do, because you're a very astute individual. Just from our limited conversation here, I can tell that people like me can't get elected, because if you tell the truth in America, you're not going to get elected. You have to lie, you have to, obfuscate, and you have to, color, your positions on the issues. If you stand up and you speak truth, and tell folks where you stand, you're not going to get elected.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. But I'll tell you, it's really a great fantasy to think of you up there doing the State of the Union and really, really telling it like it is to Nancy Pelosi and Dingy Harry Reid and that crowd.
I heard that. And I happen to agree with your assessment. Obama is not ready for prime time. And, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I think there's still a couple of, variables that can be thrown into the mix. I read something this morning, believe it or not, this is true. I read it online real quick, that Kerry is thinking about possibly running again. And then, of course, my man, Big Fred Thompson is kind of waiting in the wings. And I got to admit, right now, I like Fred Thompson. He hasn't thrown his hat in the ring, but I like that good old boy from Tennessee. So it's going to be an interesting 8 months. Let's see how things fall out.
Okay, well, God bless you, Rob, and
God
hope to hear you again before too long, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you so very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to another phone call here. We've got Joanne. She's been waiting for a while. Welcome to the KSEO special. Joanne, you're in the air with Rob Roberts.
Thank you. So good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that not all white people are cowed into not speaking out. I believe in telling the truth. And just one point I really want to get across is that they once said there was, I don't remember what article I read, but it was that the government has done more to destroy the family, especially the black family,
sure has,
than what slavery ever did.
Darn right.
As you're talking about, when it boils down to it, it's the money. As you got, for instance, across the board, child abuse by the statistics is equal among the races.
Mm-hmm.
However, about 90% more people of color are the ones that are actually removed from the home.
Sure.
And I just see it as a big conspiracy between the, as a registered nurse, that you can call anybody, anonymous phone call, and it'll launch an investigation. And, the teachers, same thing, doctors, and then you got the prison system, where 90% who have been in prison, turns out they've also been in foster care.
Yeah, and
you're not
mentioning something. Don't back off of it. The majority of the people, black people, are disproportionately incarcerated.
That's right.
12% of African Americans, 12% make up the population, and we make up something like 46-47% of people that are incarcerated here in California alone.
Well, that's right. And California incarcerates second only to China.
And why is that?
Why is it? Because they make a lot of money off of it.
Exactly.
And
but
the unions,
But there's something else, too. Okay, let me throw this into the mix, because you touched on it. Well, actually, you touched on it obliquely earlier in the conversation. When you have a family and you're raising without a father and you're talking about the government, they've done more to destroy the black family. You're absolutely right, because when you take the father out of the equation, you're not going to have a family. Okay? You're absolutely correct. Okay? So let's move on to another phone call. Here we got, who's next? We got Michael Live Oak. Michael, you're in the air with Rob Roberts.
Oh, hello, President Rob.
Oh, man, please.
That was, no, man, I'd love to hear or see somebody like you, you know, get elected president. It
never happened, man. Never happened. Well, you can't tell the truth in America and get elected to anything except maybe dog catcher.
I don't know. Be a little optimistic. Listen, now, what I call about, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised there, and my daddy was a reporter for the Atlanta Constitution, and he was one of the people that used to go along with Reverend King when he went on his marches. I've been to the Ebenezer Baptist Church. I've heard Reverend King speak.
Mm-hmm.
Heard him preach, and his daddy ate breakfast with him a couple of times.
Oh, wow, man. You really touched history, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember him like it was yesterday. And even though I was very young, I paid very close attention to him when he spoke and when he preached.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even then, I understood clearly what he wanted.
Right.
You know, not just for his people, but for everybody in America.
What do you think, since you had such a close affinity and experience with Dr. King, how about sharing with the listening audience, where do you think he would, what do you think he'd have to say today about the state of black America?
Well, what I would think he would do, if he could come out of the grave, he'd pick up the biggest stick he could find, and the first person he'd go after is Jesse Jackson. And he would chase these people down, and he would beat them into the ground.
As they well deserve.
Well, I just, listening to him, what they have done to what he wanted, his legacy, they have totally turned it inside out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has turned into exactly the opposite of what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it brings tears to my eyes, you know, when I see him and when I think about him, because he's, I mean, of all the people that I've known throughout my life, you know, someone would ask me, you know, who is some of the people that you admire the most, and Reverend King is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's up there with Ronald Reagan with me.
And thank you very much. And the whole thing about Dr. King, if I may interject here and interrupt you for just a second, was his entire orientation was the amalgamation and the integration of black Americans into American society, not as a nation standing aloof and, you know, detached from the rest of America. But he was the person that advocated for, you know, integration. Integration means you amalgamate, you become a part of, and he would be, and I agree with you, he would be totally aghast at his legacy and what's happened today.
Oh, yeah, it's just, I don't understand it, because even his closest people, Joseph Lowry, who I thought was a great man, but I hear him speak now, and I can't deal with it.
I hear you.
I like, you know what? Did you guys just forget everything the man said?
No, they didn't.
Did you never listen to anything the man said? Did you ever look at him? Did you ever try to feel what was in his heart?
It's called corruption, man. It's talking about pimping your own people. It's about making money.
I mean,
that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, for these guys, it's been about pimping the legacy and making money off of it. I mean, you know, I know you probably remember this hubbub a couple of years ago about Martin Luther King's kids, you know, suing for the right to use his I Have a Dream speech. And, you know, people have to pay and charge money now and pay royalties in order to use that speech. Now, look. Great speech. It was out there. I'm not about people, you know, not making money and not taking responsibility and, you know, for things, you know, that belong to them, property rights, intellectual rights, artistical rights, whatever you want to say. But there was something a little bit smelly about that, you know. It just kind of further, in my mind, tarnished the legacy. You know, his kids saying, if you want to repeat these words anytime, any place from here on out, you got to pay the King family some money. And it was something a little oily about that, and it still, you know, gives a bad taste in my mouth. Thinking,
well, he definitely was not in it for the money.
Oh, he definitely wasn't. He was a true believer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when he first started out, I mean, that money was coming out of his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of his family. And of course, you know, the church helped him out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
But I miss him. I really do. I think back of how different this country would be and had he not died.
Right.
You know, it just, I remember when it happened. I was sitting there watching TV, and this news flash came on, and when I heard, I just couldn't believe it.
I know.
And, I mean, my heart sunk because I knew, even though I was just a little kid, I said, man, this is not good.
Right.
This means that everything he's been trying to do is, as of now, just went down the tube.
Yeah, but you know what's really not good is how people have pimped his legacy.
Tell me about it.
And that's really, really sad. Thanks a lot for calling the program and sharing
some
of your thoughts.
Okay, bud. God bless you. It's so good to hear from you again.
God bless you too, my friend.
Goodbye.
Bye. We're going to move on to another caller. We got Harold and Aptos. Welcome to KSCO Saturday Special in here with Rob Roberts. Harold, how you doing?
Hello, Double R. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. Now, how Rob Roberts can be president? Now, we've been in Iraq
Don't want the job.
Okay, then how I could be president.
Okay.
Here's how I would have handled Iraq. And I am a historian, and a Western civilization historian, so I do have my prejudice against Islam because the bottom line is they are intolerant. You have to be Muslim or else.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 5 years in Iraq. When did it start? It started with the assassination. The word for assassination went out from Saddam to kill George Bush Jr.
That's
true. Got the Bush family pissed off.
George Bush Sr.
George Bush Sr.
Mm-hmm.
That got the powerful Bush family and their Saudi royal family upset.
Okay.
Oil is a factor.
Okay.
Two, you've got to remember that Saddam and Uday and Qusay raped and butchered Americans, their own people, Sunnis, Shiites. Just a whisper.
Oh,
you said something against Saddam.
They were bad people, no doubt about it.
Very bad. What got us in there was the culmination of all of that, what he did.
Well, there's some other background as you, and I don't know if you're purposely omitting it, but perhaps you forgot it. I mean, you know, at UN resolutions, the war ended in, 1991.
Yeah,
and,
I mention that?
Yeah, he was totally ignoring. He was peeing on the UN, totally ignoring them. You know, there had been like 14 or 15 resolutions that were passed, and the UN, I mean, he was ignoring them. He was doing whatever he wanted to. He was coming back to power. He was, shooting at American planes. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that was insane, okay? So, I mean, let's go ahead and throw that into the mix, too. He wasn't contained, as so many people say. This guy, you don't contain people like him. Evil, you can't contain. It seeps out of, the container. I mean, you can't contain evil. Look at Adolf Hitler, okay? So, the people are talking about him being contained or living a fantasy. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But Americans, I was going to mention the UN sanctions he failed to follow. You
mm-hmm.
did. That's good. I'm glad somebody studies history these days besides historians.
Oh, yeah. I didn't fall off the turnip truck
okay.
yesterday.
Okay. You also have to appeal to women. But, Americans like winners.
Right.
So we won the war when we crushed Saddam's army. And we won the war when we had elections. There were free elections.
Right.
And what we should have done is spent more money on things that will appeal to women.
Okay, Harold, try to make your point because I want to get a couple more people on here today. Go ahead and make your point real quick, okay?
Okay, am I supposed to follow up now, finish?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and make your point. I just want to encourage you. Sharpen your point.
You should have spent more money on the infrastructure. That's where Bush made his mistake. Now it's 5 years. Now you're either going to have to take on a world war and crush 1 billion Muslims, like we did fascism and communism.
That's happening now as we speak.
Or you're going to have to withdraw.
We can't withdraw.
And the American people are down to 28% of supporting the president.
I know.
I'm going ahead and trying to crush Islam, but it's going to cost us millions of dead,
We either do it now or we do it later.
How are you going to sell that?
We either do it now or we do it later. We're in a war. It's about Christians and Muslims, man. It's them against us.
Okay,
and
new
anybody,
callers.
Yeah, anybody
thank
that
you.
Ignores that.
Thank
okay,
you,
thank
Rob.
You very much for calling. He's absolutely right. I mean, that's where it's at. First of all, I'm a Christian. I make no bones about it. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. Thank you. Okay? And there is no other God, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? You can talk all you want about Allah. Allah is nothing to me. Okay? That is not any so-called God that promulgates the slaughter of innocents and murder. That's not a God to me. See, I believe and I know a God whose name is Jesus Christ. And he tells me to turn the other cheek when I get hit. He tells me to forgive my enemy how many times? 7 times 70. Okay? That's the type of God that I believe in. The only true living God. And that's my belief. Okay? That's my belief. This Muslims, you know, you can talk all you want about the Muslim religion, Prophet Muhammad, whatever. Anybody that goes out and murders and maims people, okay, anybody that straps explosives to young children and blows them up in the quest to kill American soldiers, hey, you know, that's not a god. Now, I don't know what the hell you call it. That's not a religion. But sorry, if you're offended, I'm offended. Okay. Now, my son is on active duty. Okay. And he's been on active duty for 6 years. And along with the family members, mothers and fathers of a lot of other of our brave soldiers, I'm dismayed at what's happening in Iraq. Okay. I'm dismayed. But I also know that this is a fight that has to be fought. This is a fight that was going to be fought no matter what. These are people that want to saw off the heads and have sawed off the heads of people. These are murderers. They will not be stopped. These are religious zealots. Look at what's been going on with the state of Israel in my lifetime. Okay? How that one democratic tiny little speck is surrounded by a sea of hate. And I make no bones about it. I'm a big supporter of the state of Israel. I would die to ensure their continued existence. I make no bones about that because I intend to go over and walk the land and visit the land where my Savior walked and was born someday. I haven't had an opportunity to do that. And the only way I can do that is if the state of Israel continues to exist. And it will. Okay. It will. But you look at these murderers and how they've murdered and maimed Israeli children indiscriminately, Jewish settlers, Jewish citizens, blowing themselves up. As far as I'm concerned, the Palestinians, Muslims, whatever, have abrogated any right, any claim they have to an individual state. To hell with them. Okay? They were cast out. They are the scum around the bathtub. As far as I'm concerned, you read the Bible, and I am a Christian, and you see that from time immemorial, God blessed the state of Israel, and they smote their enemies, okay? The Arabs have been trying to extinguish that light in that part of the world for millennia, and it's there, okay? We are in a war, and as the parent of a soldier, sure, I've thought about the possibility. I've had to, that my son might lose his life. I've had to think about that. Unlike a lot of folks out there in American society, I have some serious chips on the table. My son's life, okay? I've had to think about that. And I respect what my son is doing, and I respect what the sons and daughters of countless other Americans are doing. Hey, look, folks, this is war. People die in a war. 3,000 American soldiers have been killed in this conflict over the past, 4 years we've been involved in, going on 5 years. There were 10,000 Americans killed, Americans and British killed in one day, okay, on D-Day. There were almost 8,000 American Marines killed in 32 days taking Iwo Jima. Let's keep our eyes on the ball, folks. Let's put things into context, okay? I'm tired of this sissification of America. There are some things that are worse than death, and there are some things in this country, in this life, that are worth dying for. And I'm tired of this sissification of America. Well, I don't want my son to grow up playing with guns. I don't want my son to be a man. He has to be more feminine. I'm tired of the feminization of America. And this is coming from a soldier. I put my life on the line for my country at one time. That's what soldiers do, okay? Unfortunately, only 2 to 3% of Americans have experienced that, putting their life on the line for their country. The majority of Americans bathe in and enjoy the freedoms that a small portion of us in this country have risked our life to provide and ensure remain unaltered. Ain't that the American way? Sleeping under the blanket of freedom that others provide and not sacrificing for it. Let's go back to the phone lines. I want to knock out these three last callers before I go off the air. Marcella, welcome to the KSCL special. You're talking to Rob Roberts.
Hi. I want to bring up the real reason Don Imus was fired. a lot of people don't know that he has a high-functioning autistic son with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, he's been railing against the pharmaceutical company for poisoning children with their mercury-laden vaccines.
Okay.
That's the real reason he was fired.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have any comment about that? I know you defend the medical profession. I mean, you're supposed to, above all, do no harm. You talk about Muslims killing innocent babies. Well, how about pregnant women being injected with mercury-laden flu vaccines? So now the babies are born poisoned. Mm-hmm. How about the hepatitis shot? That is also mercury-laden.
Okay.
And all this at the altar of Big Pharma.
Okay.
And don't say we have freedom when one out of every five Americans now has a disability.
Okay.
And the majority of those disabilities are severe autistic children.
Okay. Thank you.
What do you have to say about that?
I don't have anything to say because you and I, you've called this program before. This is your shtick. This is your one issue.
No, it's not my one
issue.
It's
your
issue. It's everybody's issue. It's they're mandated.
Okay?
Everybody is mandated. So it's not my issue. There's going to be 4 million of these children by 2015.
Okay.
Who's
going to
take care of them?
Thank you for calling the show, madam. Thank you very much. You have a good day. Let's go to Steve in Capitola. Thank you for calling the KSCO special. This is 1080 AM and Rob Roberts.
I want to talk about the Don Imus firing.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's interesting that the, you know, what he said wasn't right, was terrible. But when you hear someone like Al Sharpton calling someone like Don Imus on the carpet, I mean, please.
There goes that jigaboo meter again. It's going up. Jigaboo meter up off the charts.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, this guy has been documented in 2004 when he got some votes. He said he didn't get some votes in the primary. He said, I was Jewed out of the vote.
I know.
He's a huckster. He's a snake oil salesman. I'm Jewish myself, and I just can't, there's no credibility with this guy.
Because people don't call him on it. Why don't people like you, and I'm not, you know, I'm not thumping on you, why don't more people like you call him on that?
Well, they do, but it never gets out in the media. And he knows he can get away with it. That is the problem. Jesse Jackson in the Hymie Town. Why don't people ask opinions from thinkers like Thomas Sowell, from Shelby Steele, sometimes Lawrence Otis Graham, but people do not turn to these people that are thinkers that have opinions that might not be popular.
Because they're not thinkers. They're Uncle Toms like me.
Oh, see, that's
they're safe
the
haters. They're haters. They're self-haters. When you talk to the truths, when you speak truth to power, you know, you're a self-hater.
Right.
You hate your race.
You don't hate. No, Rob, you don't hate your race. You're calling it like it is, and you're saying what you're saying, and you're having your opinion, and that should be respected. And I appreciate you doing that.
Well, thank you for calling the program this morning, Steve.
No problem.
You sharing your thoughts with the listening audience.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
We're going to go to one last call because we're coming to the end of the Saturday special. We're going to talk to Peggy. Hey, Peggy, thanks for waiting so long. I got about a minute and a half. You got it all, honey.
Thank you, and welcome back. I've listened
thank
to you,
you
before. I've met you a couple times, and glad to hear you again.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of issues just want to mention about Pelosi, our Speaker of the House, Harry Reid. How disgusting. But at any rate...
the dynamic duo.
Yes. Pelosi goes over to the Middle East and pretends to speak for our country, gets us in lots of trouble.
To one of the biggest sponsors of terrorism in Syria, the son of Hafez Assad. One of the biggest, filthiest, murdering sons of bees on the planet. And she sits down across from him.
That's right. Not only that, she allows them to take her words and use them against us, which I think is traitorous.
And against our president.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Then Harry Reid, who tells the whole world that we're losing the war. And my perception of...
When you're a soldier fighting for your country, you love to hear that. That's a real morale booster when you hear crap like that. Let me tell
you. Well, I have a grandson in the 82nd Airborne in Iraq.
Hooah!
And a cousin with the 1st Infantry, and I have to tell you, what they tell me about what's going on in Iraq has absolutely no relationship to what is coming to us through the media.
I hear you. Do me a favor. The next time you talk to those two brave Americans, you tell them that there's one old soldier that appreciates the sacrifices they're making, and I'm praying for them. I'm adding them both to my prayer list, and tell them God bless you and thank you from me, please.
Thank you. There's one. The one thing that I think is so very deadly about this Democratic majority in our government is the fact that they have established, they're now coming out with, a shadow government.
Yeah.
They are presenting to the world, given the perception that it is their country. It's
well, look,
not
Peggy,
their country.
Thank you very much for calling this KSCO special day. I really appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. God
Bye-bye.
Bless you. Have a good weekend. Hey, folks, this is Rob Roberts. It's been a pleasure to share a couple hours of conversation with you, sitting in here for Michael's Whirling. Mike will be back next Saturday. A Saturday special will return. I won't be here, but I'll be listening, and I hope, certainly hope that you do as well. Thank you very much for your time today. I'm bold, I'm black, and hey, maybe somewhere down the line, I'll be back. Wow, what a wonderful day. I'm going to go out and enjoy a little bit of it. Take care, folks. God bless you. Have a super weekend. And continue to listen to KSCO 1080 AM. Hot talk. Hot, 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 hot talk. Take care, folks. I love you. Bye-bye.
Fox's Anita McNaught in Baghdad. A suicide bomber in Pakistan targeting the interior minister at a public meeting today in the northwest part of that country. He was injured but survived. 22 others did not. Suspicion falling on Islamic militants. A retired Army general who says he's not a Democrat or a Republican delivering the Democrats' weekly radio address. Lieutenant General William Odom says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked him to. Odom, who was the Army's top intelligence officer and the head of the NSA during the Reagan years, talking about the war in Iraq.
Most Americans suspect that something is fundamentally wrong with the president's management of the conflict in Iraq, and they are right. The challenge we face today is not how to win in Iraq. It is how to recover from a strategic mistake, invading Iraq in the first place.
President Bush calling for immigration reform today in his radio address.
We need a system where our laws are respected. We need a system that meets the legitimate needs of our economy. And we need a system that treats people with dignity and helps newcomers assimilate into our society.
The president planning to elaborate further when he delivers the commencement address later today at Miami-Dade College in Florida. To the north in Georgia, firefighters battling out-of-control wildfires, one burning more than 66,000 acres.
It's already destroyed 18 homes. Firefighters say they have it 50% contained.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. Across the street from us at Radio City, the NFL draft underway. The number one pick, LSU quarterback Jamarcus Russell, the Raiders wanting him and getting him. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Bill McCuddy, Fox News Radio, and we're spending a few minutes with Victor Garber. Victor, thanks for dropping by.
Nice to see you.
You are doing some work with the great folks at the Alzheimer's Association.
The sad fact is there are now over 5 million people living with Alzheimer's in America, and this campaign is to enlist people to take an active part and to represent each of these people. And so one person to represent each person living with Alzheimer's and become their voice, become active in participating and finding out about Alzheimer's and how we can stop this disease.
So this is identifying the caregivers that are living with the disease secondhand, I mean, with someone who has it.
Exactly, but it's also people who have not been touched by this disease yet, who unfortunately will be, and that's the sad fact.
To learn more about becoming Alzheimer's champion and the program, go to www.actionalz.org. Victor, thanks so much
thanks
for dropping
so much.
By. I'm Bill McCuddy for Fox News Radio.
Something you don't hear about every day, an earthquake rocking southeast England about 60 miles from London. It was moderate, about 4.3 in magnitude, but it toppled chimneys, left thousands without electricity. Local Sarah Harris.
My son actually shouted down to me downstairs, "Mummy, my things are falling off my side. Why is there a train going past outside?"
The quake center in the English Channel, one injury reported. Not the best advertisement for New Jersey's beaches. Some disgusting stuff washing up on shore.
What do a playpen, a jockstrap, a pregnancy test, fake plastic breasts, and five pairs of underwear have in common? That's just a few of the 260,000 pieces of trash that's washed up on New Jersey beaches last year. It adds up to 40 tons of garbage. Volunteers are out this weekend and picking up more trash, getting ready for the summer season. And the Clean Ocean Action says the most common piece of trash to wash up on the Jersey Shore, plastics. The recent heavy rains have washed even more trash than usual from storm drains and sewage systems onto New Jersey's beaches. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
2 years after his death, actor James Doohan finally going where a few have gone before.
Scotty, beam me up.
Well, actually, Scotty, you're beaming up too. The cremated remains of James Doohan, who played engineer Scotty on the original Star Trek series, launching into outer space.
Well, now, what do you think of that?
Doohan accompanied via private rocket by the remains of Apollo 7 astronaut Gordon Cooper and about 200 others. Doohan died in 2005. The remains of Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, were sent into space in 1997. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Doohan's ashes, by the way, on board the first rocket launched from Spaceport America in southern New Mexico, where Richard Branson plans to send tourists into space for $200,000 a ticket. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, April 28th, 2007. Today will be mostly sunny with highs near 80 degrees. Calm winds becoming west-southwest around 6 miles an hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around 50 degrees. West winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm later in the evening. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with highs near 71 degrees. And tomorrow night you can expect patchy fog after 11 p.m. Otherwise, increasing clouds with lows around 47 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today. West winds 10 knots, wind waves 1 to 2 feet, and a northwest swell 4 to 9 feet at 13 seconds. Currently, the temperature here at the station is 63 degrees. Coming up next, Perspectives right here on AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.